Good morning. I'm not sure what I'm going to talk about this morning. Something about faith, righteousness, and perseverance. Something along those lines. I guess it was started by Charles made the comment of about the apostles increase our faith, and that hit me like a bolt of lightning. Is like, I never thought about asking help with that. And so I've been doing that recently, asking for God to increase my faith. And so that's what I've been thinking about. And so I've been mulling this around in my head, and the verse 1 Corinthians 4 and 7 came to mind. For who makes you different? I'll be NIV today. So 1 Corinthians 4 and 7 says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" So I was kind of holding on to faith as something that I provided. Well, now I've been thinking about this. I'm not so sure that I provide the faith. And God is great and awesome, and God has made everything we experience and can know, and us. I mean, there's just name one thing that God didn't create. And then try and figure out what you're going to give back to God, because it's already His. So, it makes me wonder why are we here? Why has God put up with us? Why would He create such an aggravation and pain in His side? So, God made us with free will. And that's where my lesson goes today. We have, God made us, God wanted it. See, God had already made angels. They do what He says. And although there was a fallout from that, but God wanted some beings, I think, this is my theory, that we didn't have to worship God. We have to make that choice. So the choice, my choice, is what serving God is all about. God wants me to make the decision. He wants me, a physical being, to make this, to spend my life, my physical life, seeking out a spiritual God. Doesn't quite jive, doesn't quite make sense from my standpoint. And it's something that I have to do on purpose. I have to focus on it. Lucas's collection is focusing on being thankful to God. Something that gets pushed to the side constantly. Matt's Lord's Table was remembering Christ. Something that constantly gets pushed to the side. It's my choice to serve God. That's what I can give back to God. Because everything else He's given me. He's given me faith I was hanging on to that. I thought I was creating that. That's not so true anymore. And he's done everything for me. So, another verse that springs to mind is Galatians 2 and 20. I've changed it some. I've taken all right, I'm going to prove my ignorance here. Pronouns out and put my name in there. This is my version. It says, I, Michael, have been crucified with Christ, and Michael no longer lives, but Christ lives in Michael. The life Michael lives in the body, Michael lives by faith in the Son of God, who loved Michael and gave himself for Michael. That makes it personal. That makes it even more than I. It makes it personal. In class we studied Christ led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He has overtaken death, basically, and taken death's captives and made them his own. Us. He's made us captives to Christ if we choose to be his captive. So, I've been thinking about this faith thing, and trying to think of where to go with it. I'm a simple person in the retarded sense, I think. But we were talking about that in class too. I'm not all that bright sometimes. Forget things that are I've just given lessons on and all that kind of stuff. My hardest day after a lesson is Monday. Seems like as soon as I give a lesson, I fall off the edge of the cliff and into the abyss. So, anyway, that's the way it goes, I think. So, Romans 4, we're going to start in verse 18, and then we're going to read some through 5. 4 and 18 of Romans. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said of him. So your offspring shall be. And what was it said? It'd be like the stars or the sand. I'm not sure about the sand, but it'd be like the stars. And without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So, here we have Abraham, who has great faith. He has no reason to believe he's going to have a child. I mean, that was gone several several years ago, we'll say. And but he kept on with it. He kept believing in God. And then he kept doing what was right. And then when he got tired of doing that, he would go back to rule number one and believe in God and then do what was right. And then when he got tired of that, he'd go back to rule number one, believe in God and do what is right. That's basically what faith is. Faith is just, there's two parts to faith. There's this intellectual part where we believe in this God that is not quite in our realm, and he's out there somewhere, and we believe that he's there. And then there's faith of the physical kind, where if you say somebody's faithful, they just keep plugging along. Just keep going, keep going, keep going, and keep on going. And so we got to put those two together, and that's how we get our faith. And that's, God gives us this faith. I skipped part of what I wanted to go over, but and in Luke 17:5, where the apostles say, "Increase our faith," and he was talking about forgiveness. If somebody comes to you, you forgive him, and then he comes to you seven more times, you forgive him. And the apostle says, "Well, how are we ever going to do this? Increase our faith." And then Jesus kind of gets after him. He says, "You don't need increased faith. You just need to use the faith you have. All you need is faith the size of a mustard seed." And a mustard seed is about the size of a shot out of a shotgun shell. It's very tiny. Not very big at all. And yet it creates a plant, at least a mustard eye plant, grows about this tall. I'm not sure exactly what they planted back there. It said it grows where the birds could rest in it. So the faith, we just have to keep going. Keep going. I really like the story in Mark. I've used this before, where Jesus is coming down from the mount where he's transfigured, and there's this father there. He brought his son, and his son is on these fits, has an evil spirit. And the father says, if you can do anything, please do something. And Jesus says, if I can do something, if you believe I can do it. I'm paraphrasing there. And the father immediately says, help me overcome my unbelief. And just prior to that, immediately he says, I do believe, help me with my unbelief. And so many times that's what I feel. I feel like I believe, but then on the other hand, I have all these other issues going on. So help me to overcome my unbelief. So, a man's life is governed by his thoughts. He will ultimately become that which he dwells upon most in his mind. Now, if that isn't scary enough to make you straighten up and fly straight, I have thoughts that come into my head that just horrify me. It's like, where did that come from? And, you know, people who are in jail have those kind of thoughts. You know, and people who, you know, that's the difference. I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between us and them. And it's, generally speaking, it's Christ right here is the difference. So, Romans 12:2. Probably can quote it. I'm not going to try, because I tend to mess that up. Do not conform any longer. All right. My eyes are playing tricks on me here. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and improve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then Philippians 4, 8 through 9. This is one of my favorites. I can find these really fast when I got the timer going. Okay. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So a man will become what he thinks. So what should we do? We should put good things in there. We should... This, right here. We should put this in there. Put that in. We were talking about that in class. I mean, some of this... Probably the scariest times was when the gifts were dying out and the printing press hadn't been invented yet. You know, that'd be... It'd be a rough time. And so put this in there. Be faithful in that. Because I know from personal experience, whenever I'm reading this, the Bible, that's when I'm feeling the best. That's whenever things go the best. So put that in there. It doesn't... I skip all over the place. I've tried to do it in order. I'm not very good at that. I read some here, I read some there, and try to always be reading one of the Gospels. That's one of my favorites. Just try to constantly be reading one of those. But then I try to throw some of the rest in there as well. So... I'm not doing very good with my notes here. Let's see. My next one I was going to go to is Mark. This verse I like to. This is on one of my cards, but I didn't bring it with me. Mark 4, 24. through 25. says, consider carefully what you hear, he continued. All right, so that brings to what was he talking about? So I guess I'll jump back to verse 21. He said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So, go out and seek God, basically, is what I get from that. Go out, find Him, and that's in this again. So, and then in verse 24 he says, consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. That's not fair. That's not socialism or communism or, you know. That's a law of nature. Who has the money in the world? It's the people who know how to handle it. It disappears from the other people and goes to the people who know how to use it. It's a fact of life. And apparently, so is the truth. The truth is with the people who know how to use it, who seek it out, who study it. They will get more. Those who decide to ignore it and mistreat it, it's not going to be in their lives. It's going to go away. And they'll even lose what truth they do have. That's another thing that should make you sit up and fly straight. So, before we get feeling too smug, let's go to Colossians. I got the books of the Bible memorized, but sometimes. Okay, Colossians 1. 21 through 23. Once you were alienated from God. So, who doesn't fit into that category? I don't think there's anybody. So, except Christ. And I'd have to think about that. And once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your own minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Well, we talked about in class this morning. First church, they believed in Christ, were baptized, they're in. That's about all they knew. That's the gospel. That's what gets you in the door. That's the nut in the shell. So that's what we have to have. And we have to remember that that's where that's faith is very simple. That's what I discovered in this. All we have to do is believe in God. I mean, I'm simplifying it. There's hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Okay, believe in God. And then we have to be righteous. We just have to stick with it. And that's what I'm trying to hammer today, is sticking with it, because doing what's right and then sticking with it. Because why would he put this in here? Verse 23, if you continue in your faith. So, I mean, that means you're not going to stay there forever. I've walked out to my work van, been in the house working, walk out to my work van, I'm standing there in front of my work van. Alright, why did I just come out here? Customer's probably looking out the window, watching this nut. Standing there in front of his van, trying to remember why he's there. I made a word up for it. Overwhelmingness. Because I'm trying to do something in the house. While I'm in the house, I know I got to go out to the van and do something. And I'm trying to think of, all right, and then after that, I got to do this. And then the next customer wants a half-hour call before I show up at their house, and they're 15 minutes away. And so I go out to my van, and I stand out there in the fresh air going, I can't remember anything. So, Matt, that's what it's called, overwhelmingness. So, and that's what happens in our spiritual life, our faith. It goes away. We get involved in calling customers and fixing broken things and doing that kind of thing. And the next thing you know, we're on our way home and we're listening to the radio and the whole country's going to pot. And literally, and things just build and build and build and build, and then you drive by a church sign in Monroe, and it says, "Feed your faith, and your doubts will starve." Anyway, that fits what I was thinking about earlier. So, faith is simple; it's just hard to remember. Believe in God and do what is right. And then when you get tired of doing that, believe in God and do what is right. So, All right, moving on. So what is my part in faith? This is what I always like to get down to. I call it this. This is a magazine article. I love it when authors of big, thick books write magazine articles. Because then you can read the magazine article and you know what the big, fat book is about. And you don't need to read the big, fat book. So, anyway. I always like this part, but this is always the hardest part because this is the actual, this is the nut in the show, and this is where it gets difficult because it's not theory, it's not reading about something. You know, there's a difference between reading about how to do something and then actually going outside and picking that plant that, oh, this looks like it, and it kind of looks like the poisonous one, and do I eat this or not? So, anyway, there's a difference between reading about something and actually doing it. So, I tried to narrow this down. 1 John 4. Not saying I did a good job. But anyway. 1 John 4 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Okay. So, like the first church, they knew they were in. But they weren't quite sure what to do next. And then people show up and start, we got circumcision. That was a good example because, you know, that's always been a requirement up until now, and so we're just going to assume that that's going to go on. Well, no, it wasn't. So they have to do some figuring out. And I would read the whole chapter, but I'm out of time. So I'm going to skip down to the last two verses. And the first verse is, be cautious, okay? Be cautious. The middle part is all about love, being like God. So do your best to be a mirror image of God. Like the moon reflects the sun. Okay? Sometimes it's better and brighter than other times. That's our job. We're like the moon. We reflect God to those around us. Verse 19 says, "We love because He first loved us." That's why we do that. God loved us. We return that to those around us. "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar." Where do liars go? They go to hell. "For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, 'Whoever loves God must also love his brother.'" So, what's the nut? If we love God, we got to reflect that to those around us. We have to take the same love that God has given us and apply that to those around us. It's a must. Okay. Should have made better notes. Luke 16:10. I was looking for how to live things. So Luke 16:10 says, yes, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much." So, little things matter. Your work life matters. Your play life matters. Your private life matters. Your public life matters. It's all part of your spiritual walk, your faith. It all counts. There's nothing, we read earlier that what was this, I'm going to mess up now, whatever was secret was not going to be secret, and what was, both vice versa. So there aren't going to be secrets. Everything's going to be laid open. And so our lives, public, private, work, play, they all count towards God. So our faith is very important in all of those. So, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So, very important, every aspect of your life. Colossians 3, 22. I think I was just... No, wasn't quite there. Okay, Colossians 3. Wrong chapter. Okay. Slaves. Okay. Do you get much lower than slaves? In this life, no. That's pretty much the bottom of the barrel. Okay. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. So if anybody had a right to say, well, this ain't fair, and everybody owes me, and this kind of thing, it'd be slaves, right? So they could steal stuff from their master and this kind of stuff, and it would be just wages, wouldn't it? That's the kind of theory that goes on today. I hear it all the time. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Okay, I was going to read on. I think I will. Anyway, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair. So we have the other end of the scale. We got the people who own people. They're the top of the pile, and they have the same requirements. Funny. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. And then some goodies here. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So, what is... So, faith and righteousness and perseverance. That's why I didn't know what I was talking about. Is involved in every aspect of our life. There isn't anything that it isn't involved in. There isn't anything that we haven't been given, not what I started with. It's all been a gift to us. It's all, there's nothing we have that God hasn't provided for us. And so, this isn't that outrageous of an idea that every aspect of our life should be aimed back to God. So, the way I keep my faith is believe in God and then do what is right. And then I trust God will provide everything else. I had other verses where people who did that, they believed in God and did what was right. They were righteous. And yet, they were put in jail. They were killed. They didn't win. Or did they? That's not... When we think of winning, when we think of a fighter, somebody who wins, he's on top of the pile. He makes the most money. He beats the other person up. He he's the victor. Well, in Christianity, if we win, it doesn't look anything like that. It could look like that. I'm not saying that's not true. We could have all kinds of money. We could the fighter probably doesn't exactly fit. But the successful, that's what I'm looking for. We could be very successful, but that's not necessarily true. We could be very unsuccessful. We could lose our lives and basically be looked upon as a loser, destitute in goat skins and living in caves. There's a verse somewhere that I can't think of right now. But, you know, they weren't very well off. And yet they won because they kept their faith, believed in God, and did what was right. So those are my thoughts for today. If sometimes faith was this big thing that I had no idea what it really meant. And I think that's my definition of faith is, or maybe not definition, but functionality of faith is believe God and do what is right. And then I don't have to worry about the other stuff. The other stuff will take care of itself. So if there's anybody here, we will offer the invitation. This time, if anybody here wants to make themselves right with God, to start that belief in God, to return to God. You've fallen away from God and need to come back. If you would come forward as we stand and sing, we can help you with that.